Bibles here this morning. We're going to be in the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. We're going to begin there in verse 36. We'll make our way down to verse 46 today. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 36 down to verse 46 here this morning. Beulah Land. Praise the Lord for that. Good song. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 36 to 46. Entitled this message, Last Chance. Last Chance. How many have ever got a last chance to do something? You know, whenever you ever thought about how focused you were when you had your last opportunity, or you had your last chance, how you was zeroing in to try to make sure you did the best that you could for that last chance. We're going to look at a man today that had a last chance. And what did he do with that last chance? We don't know here this morning how many more chances any of us have today. We're going to look at a man here in this scripture. He had a last chance, and we're going to look at it. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 36 to verses 46. It's about a man named Shimei, and what he did was he didn't take his life serious. He was very flippant, really, I guess, about his life. He just, everything that took place in his life, it just to him, it just seemed like it was a game. And listen, I'm all for having fun in life, and I'm all for having a good time. Listen, I'm all about having joy in the Lord and all of these types of things. But listen, we got to understand today that our soul is not worth gambling with. Amen? We got to understand today that there's some things in life that are not a game, and your soul is not something that is a game. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And so as we look at the Bible this morning, what are some things that we can see out of the life of Shimei and some things that was going on here that we can take a look at and say, you know what, I need to make sure today that I take my life a little bit more serious. Maybe I need to make sure today that I understand that God is love, but there's also a God of judgment as well. So let's take a look at it, 1 Kings chapter 2. And let's begin there in verse 36. The Bible says, and the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, build thee an house in Jerusalem and dwell there, and go not forth thence anywhither. Now, just a little bit of background on Shimei. Now, Shimei was a man. He is now under the reign of Solomon. Now, he has been under three kings, as a matter of fact. He's now under the reign of Solomon. He was under the reign of King David, but King David is passing away. He's getting ready to die and go off the scene. So his son Solomon's fixed to reign in his stead. But before King David, there was also King Saul. And Shimei was one of the guys that was under King Saul. He was from in essence, around there from the same place. And he didn't mind. He really enjoyed, actually, King Saul's leadership, it seemed. But whenever David came onto the scene, he really didn't care too much about David. And so when Absalom, his son, had betrayed him, and David and his people had ended up leaving the castle, leaving the area, he was actually, I think, really excited about that, because whenever he was on his way, when David was fleeing, one of the first things you see about Shimei was that we see that David is on his way. He's coming through Bahurim, where Shimei is from. And as he's coming down through there, we see that Shimei, he is casting rocks, and he's throwing mud, and he's casting insults at King David as he's on his way. And he's accusing David of all kinds of things, accusing David of being a blood-filled man who was the one that was at fault for the fall of Saul, and was just saying all kinds of nasty, evil, wicked things about David. And as he was doing that, and David and all his men were passing through, he was throwing mud, he was throwing rocks, he was slinging insults, and he was doing all this. And the guy walks over there to King David, and he says, David, this is one of his soldiers. He said, David, we're going to sit here and let this man talk to you like that? He said, I tell you what. He said, you give me permission, and I will go and take off his head. Hey, it's kind of good to have some friends like that. I don't mean take somebody's head off, really. You know what I mean. But friends that'll stick up for you and be there for you. Well, King David looked at him and said, nah, just don't worry about it, you know. And he was all upset anyway. His son had betrayed him. And so they are on their way, away from the palace. And they're injured and they're wounded and they're hurt. And while they were injured and wounded and hurt, Shimei was throwing rocks, throwing insults, slandering David's name. He was doing what he could to hurt David at this time, when David was vulnerable and when David was hurt as well. But then something happened. After that took place, we go a little bit further and we see that Absalom ended up losing the battle. And you know what happened? After Absalom lost the battle of betraying King David, you know what Shimei did? He came back. He said, David, I'm sorry. Some people look at that and say, well, he was being repentant. But see, but the thing is, Shimei, he didn't come back and say he was sorry until he saw that Absalom lost. He didn't come back and say he was sorry until whenever David won, and he already knew, listen, if he wants to take my head off, he's got every right to. Listen, because to do all of that to the king, that was punishable by death. What I'm trying to get us to see here this morning is that Shimei is a good picture of a man who really couldn't define his servanthood. It seemed like he had different masters, and it seemed like he didn't really care about what he did in his life. He wasn't repentant and he wasn't sorry until he saw that King David had won. And well, he wasn't repentant and he wasn't really sorry, it seems, until he saw that his own life was in jeopardy. And listen, sometimes people can be the same way. They'll be around and they'll be your friend and they'll be your support until things start not looking too good, and they kind of turn against you for their own self-interest. I'm just trying to get us to see here this morning that Shimei, he was the type of person that didn't really seem to have any person that he really declared to be a real true master to his life, to be someone that he was really to be servant to. And so what we see here is that in our life as well, we think about ourselves. I'm just trying to get us to see today, as we look at Shimei's life, let us make sure that we don't take our life as carelessly as what Shimei did. Because listen, all of us in our life, we got to be honest with ourselves. Every single one of us, there's been moments and there's been times. Every single one of us here today, maybe at some point in our life, listen, we have cast stones and we have threw mud and maybe in the face of the king or at the king by the sins that we commit and the life that we live. Listen, we've all done it. We're all guilty here today. At some point in our life, We have come against the rightful king. We have slung mud, we've slung stones, we've said some things, done some things that wasn't right, lived a life that wasn't right. But Shimei was a person who didn't really seem to care about the way that he lived. I want us to see here this morning that, listen, your soul is too valuable and mine is too valuable. The souls of this world is too valuable for us to live our life in just such a flippant way to where we just say, well, I'm just going to live how I want to live and do what I want to do, and nothing else matters, and I'm going to be the king of my own life. I'm going to live how I want to live and all of that. Listen, it didn't bring Shimei anything. It didn't do nothing for the man. As a matter of fact, he paid dearly for the price that he paid dearly of a price for what he did. I want us to see here today that as we think about Shimei and we think about the life that he lived, notice what happens here in verse 36 and 37. The Bible says the king sent and called Shimei. Now understand this. This is now King Solomon. David has already told Solomon. He's passing off the scene. He's dead. Now he done told Solomon. He said, Shimei, he came up. He tried to apologize, but listen, I'm not so sure about his apology. You know the kind of person that he is. You know the kind of life that he lives. And so Solomon has got these things going on in the back of his mind. He understands the things that he's done to his dad. But I want you to notice what he did in true Christ-like fashion that we see that Solomon does. What a great picture of the Lord Jesus that Solomon is. Despite the things that Shimei has said, despite the things that Shimei has done, despite the mud that he has cast at the king, despite the slanderous insults, despite the cursing, despite all these things that he has threw at the king, despite the life that he's lived, despite all of this, what does Shimei do? What does Solomon do? The Bible says the king sent and called for Shimei. The king had a desire for Shimei to get things right. The king had a desire for Shimei to come out from the place where he was and to come to Jerusalem where he was. Because Shimei knew that, Solomon knew that as long as Shimei stayed in the place where he was at, as long as Shimei continued to live out there on the outskirts, as long as Shimei continued to live in the place where he was and he wasn't close to the king, he would never be the man that he needed to be. He would never be in fellowship with the king like he needed to be. And so in true Christ-like fashion, we see Solomon, a great picture of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that he sent and called for Shimei. Does not the Bible also tell us and show us that that this, no man cometh to God except the Holy Spirit draw him? We see that the Holy Spirit, and the Lord Jesus himself, because he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that he's reaching down to every single man, speaking to the heart of every single person, trying to let everybody know that, listen, yes, you have been guilty. Yes, you have cursed me. You have lived a life that is against me. You have slung some stones and you have slung some mud at me. But I just want you to know that I'm willing to forgive all of that. But I do understand that in that area which you live, in that place in which you live, it's not going to benefit you and it's not going to help you. And so what I desire for you to do, Shimei, is I desire for you to leave that place that you're at, and I want you to come to Jerusalem. And notice what the king said. The king sent and he called for Shimei. You know why? Because Shimei wasn't coming to the king on his own. Listen, nor did we. We love him, what does the Bible say? Because he first loved us. Listen, we didn't go seeking the king. The king came to seek us. And then whenever the king came to seek us, we fell in love with the king and we got saved. But here we see a man who was living his life so haphazardly and this is something that was consistent to him. The Bible says that the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, build the house in Jerusalem. In other words, this is the place where I want you to live. He said, I want you to dwell there. This is the place where I want you to stay. This is the place where I want you to live. What does the Bible say? Come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord. I want you to come out from that place of sin. I want you to come out from that worldly place. I want you to come out from the dwelling place that you have out there on the outskirts of Jerusalem. And what I desire for you in your life is to build you a house here with me. Build a house here in Jerusalem. Build a house in fellowship with the king. Build a house where you will always be here with me. That's pretty good. Despite the insults and despite the slander and despite all the things that Shimei had done against the king, against King David, Solomon was willing to forgive. Solomon was willing to do one thing, give him another chance. But not just another chance, a last chance. As we think about that this morning, how many folks are on their last chance? And that's what I want us to really concentrate on today. How many folks, not just here in this church, but outside those doors and in churches all across America today, and just people even sitting at the house, how many people are on their last chance? The Bible shows this right here. Notice he desired, the king desired for Shimei to have a place with him. I want you to know that Jesus has a desire for you to have a place with him. He desires for you to come out from that place where you are. He desires for you to come out from that place of sin. He desires for you to come out from the world and come out and to build a place, to build a house, to be productive and to be there with he himself. He desires for you to come out from a worldly place that's going to lead you nowhere and not be productive in your life to a place that's right there in Jerusalem. Notice he says, build a house. Have a name for yourself here. Build a place here. And he says, stay here in Jerusalem. Don't go back out there, but stay right here. Listen, is that not the plea of our Savior today? To come unto him and to stay out of the world and to be a peculiar people for the Lord Jesus. But we understand, as we said before, we don't isolate ourselves from the world, but we do insulate ourselves from the world. Listen, as God's people, we come out from amongst the worldly population of folks that desire to live in sin, and we want to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible shows us here that the king said, listen, come out from that place and dwell here. And notice he says there in verse 36, and go not forth thence anywhere. Don't you go back out there in the world. Don't go back out there into sin. Listen, don't do it. And notice what he says in verse 37. And here is where we get the first truth. The Bible says, for it shall be that on that day that thou goest out and passest over the brook Kidron, that thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die. And thy blood shall be upon thine own head. The very first truth we see this morning is his jurisdiction. His jurisdiction. We see Solomon, a good picture of the Lord Jesus, who has a desire for those that are living on the outside to come on the inside. We see a good picture of the Lord Jesus, who desires for folks that are living a life that is unproductive, living a life. See, Solomon knew that as long as Shimei kept standing in the place that he was in, that he was going to keep living the life that he was living. He was going to keep believing what he was believing. He wanted, but Solomon wanted the best for Shimei. Solomon wanted to give Shimei another chance. He says, I tell you what, you come out of that. He says, and I want you to stay here and you dwell here and you build a house here. And as long as you are here, you'll be fine. Just build a place here with the king. Build a place. You'll be in my presence. And don't go back outside there. Don't go out. Don't pass over the brook Kidron. Don't go back out there in the world. Because listen, when you go back out there, listen, the sin's out there and darkness is out there and it's going to grab a hold of you. And if you go back out there, you will surely die. And just understand this, that I've already gave you the warning and I've already told you, but if you cross over that brook Kidron and you go back out there knowing what I've already told you, it's not going to be my fault. It's going to be your fault. The blood's going to be on your head. You won't be able to pass the buck or pass the blame to anybody else. You already know what the truth is. And if you pass over that brook Kidron and you go over this boundary line right here, what's going to happen is you're going to die and the blood's going to be on your head. So when that takes place, don't turn around and blame me. Listen, that's life. That's life. I mean, what do we see there in the very book of Genesis? There, the very first off, I mean, we see Adam and Eve had sinned against God, and what'd they do? Adam blamed it on his wife, and then she blamed it on the serpent. Everybody was blaming everybody for the things that they did. Listen, I'm just trying to get us to see today that the Bible's telling us, the Lord Jesus is trying to show us, I believe, through his word, through these men right here, as we take these stories and we apply them to our life, we can see the Lord Jesus pleading for all of his people, pleading for folks, listen, to take your life serious. Eternity's a long time to be wrong. So take your life serious and make sure that you're not out there living a life so haphazardly that you're no longer thinking about eternity, that you no longer care about judgment that's coming, that'll be upon every single man, that you are no longer thinking about anything that's ever going to happen to you. You're not thinking about standing before God one of these days. But listen, we're not just standing before God one of these days. We're also standing before God today. And we got to understand that, listen, we got to take our lives serious here because there is a seriousness that is coming later. There is a judgment that is coming. And as God's people, we got to be prepared for that. And as a world, the world needs to be prepared for that. The Bible says that Solomon told Shimei, listen, dwell here. Build you a place here. Man, I mean, what a great invitation. What a great opportunity that Shimei had to leave the old life behind, to get out of that darkness, to get out of that sin, and to get out of that place and come and dwell in the presence of the king. And as long as he was there, everything was going to be fine. As long as he was there, everything was going to be okay. But he gave him a warning. He said, listen, you get back out there in the world, and you get back out there to dancing around in all that darkness, and you get out there dancing around and playing around in all that sin, then your blood's going to be on your own head. It's going to be your fault. I done gave you the warning. It's going to be your fault. And so he gives him a jurisdiction. He says, don't cross the brook Kidron. You say, why is the brook Kidron so significant? Well, the name Kidron means a place of darkness. It means black. It means turbid or dark. And so it says, listen, when you cross over Kidron, this place that is full of darkness, when you cross over Kidron, this place that is turd, this place that is black, this place that is evil, when you cross over the darkness of Kidron, you've sealed your fate. He said, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, you're going to put yourself out there in a place of darkness. And when you put yourself out there in that place of darkness, you've done sealed your fate. Your blood's going to be upon your own head and you're going to die. Well, let that be a warning, I think, to all of us here this morning, that we understand that none of us, we have no idea when that last chance is for anybody. I mean, how do we know? Listen, I don't know your heart. You don't know mine. Listen, I mean, for all I know, it could be me. Listen, we just got to understand and get our hearts right with God this morning. Just say, listen, none of us here today is perfect. And listen, God may be knocking on the door of all of our hearts and saying, listen, he could have come up to me. He could have come up to Josh. He could have come to Rodney. He could have come up to Jack and knocked on the door of the heart and said, listen, you better get your life right. This is your last chance. You better get things right. I done told you. I done told you. Done told you. Done told you. You keep playing out there in that place of darkness. You keep getting out there and getting and living in that place that is full of darkness, and one of these days you're going to pay for it. You keep going out there, you're going to die. Sin's going to get you, and it's going to drag you down. The devil's going to grab a hold of you. And listen, and he says, listen, and I told you what was going to happen. So when it does happen, don't turn around and blame nobody but yourself. You know it. You've been told it. The truth has shone upon you. The light has been upon your face. And so just understand what is going to happen if you get out there and you start messing around out there in the darkness. He says, I'm pleading with you. I'm telling you. I'm giving you you one last chance to come here, get out of the world, and to come here and to dwell with me. Come to Jerusalem. Come to the holy city. Be holy as I am holy. Live under my presence. Live in fellowship with the King. That's what he desires. And as God's people, I mean, wow, what a great opportunity. Not just for us, but a great opportunity for the world to hear this. I mean, the world needs to understand. The world needs to see and understand that sin isn't something to be played with. It isn't something to be messed around with. What does the Bible say about it? The Bible says the wages of sin bringeth forth death. Sin destroys everything it grabs a hold of. Sin destroys everything that it touches. And so here this morning, we got to be real and we got to be honest with ourselves. One last chance is what Solomon gave Shimei. He said, you got one last chance to get yourself right. You got one last chance to get yourself together. And the Bible shows us, Lord heavens. Ah, there we go. We almost ended early, but you didn't get lucky. Verse 36, he says, dwell there and go not forth thence anywhither, for it shall be that on that day that thou goest out. Now you'll also notice in verse 37, this man had a free will. Nobody, he could go out and he can come in as he pleased. The choice was his. He wasn't going to make him do anything. He said, but this is the boundary line. And you got a choice to make whether you're going to stay here or whether you're going to cross over into darkness. You're going to live over here in light or you're going to live in darkness. What do you choose? And is it not placed before all of us every day? The Bible says, verse 37, for it shall be on that day that thou goest out and passest over the brook Kidron, that thou shalt know for certain. Listen, this is something that will happen. This is something that will come to pass. This isn't something you're going to have to question. You will know for certain that on the day that you cross over Kidron, that thou shalt surely die. Just as was said there in Genesis, you take part of this, the fruit of this tree, thou shalt surely die. And so there in verse 37, he says, you cross over this boundary line right here, you will die. And thy blood shall be upon thine own head. So we see his jurisdiction. So let's, as we end this first truth, let's think about ourselves here today. What is the boundary line been set for our life? Where is the jurisdiction? What is God saying that he wants us to do? And God's saying, well, in this text, we can see, he says, listen, your jurisdiction, what I desire for you to do is to come out from the world and live with me, to come out from the places of darkness and to come over on this side of the Kidron. Don't go out, don't live out there, don't dwell out there, but build your house here, build your home here. Listen, I spend so much time in the house of God, sometimes I wonder if I just live, I just need to put a bed in here. Listen, I'm just telling you, we live to dwell in the house of God, to live in the house of God. That is what's best for our life. We have a king that says, I desire fellowship with you. I desire the best for you. And how are we going to do that? But in order for us to have this, what the king desires, then we must be willing to pick up our place that is from out there in the world, because that's what he was going to have to do. He was going to have to pick himself up from out there in the world, and he was going to have to leave that place out there, and he was going to have to make his journey over to Jerusalem to be there with the king. But the king said, you got one last chance. I'm going to give you this moment right here. And how many of us may be sitting in here today and God's knocking on the door of our heart and he's saying, you got one chance. You got one moment. And this is it. What are you going to do? The Bible shows us our jurisdiction. Don't cross over the line. But I'm understanding this morning that we're all sinners. The Bible says, there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because we've all done that, every single one of us, like Shimei, have crossed the line at times. Sometimes in our life, we have slandered, we have threw rocks, and we have thrown mud. And by the life that we live, we have demonstrated that Jesus isn't our King sometimes. Shimei was the same way. But there came a moment, there came a time when Solomon said, it was a good picture of Christ, said, listen, don't cross this line and go out in that darkness again, or this is what's going to happen. So we see his jurisdiction. Next thing we see, as the Bible says in verse 38, the Bible says, and Shimei said unto the king, the saying is good. It seemed like there at first that Shimei was a man that was in agreeance. His man name's famous or renowned. It seemed like Shimei was a man that was in agreeance with the king. He says, the saying that you're saying is good. He says, I agree. This sounds like a great idea. He says, the saying is good. And the Bible says, as my lord the king has said, so will thy servant do. And Shimei dwelled in Jerusalem many days. Now you look at verse 38 and it seems like things is going well. You look in verse 38 and it seems like, man, everything is nice, everything's going good. I mean, how much better could you possibly want it? Shimei picked up from his place. He's now living in the presence of the king. He's down there in Jerusalem. He has built him a house and there he is staying. He is now close to the king. He's living with the king and man, it seems like everything's working out and everything is so good. But then something happens because something always happens. And the Bible says there in verse 39, as we leave verse 38, we'll just see the joy there. He said, the saying is good. You know, it's always good when we are obedient to the Lord. It's always good when we are living on the right side of the Brook Kidron that we're supposed to be on. Because he said, when you cross that Brook Kidron, it's full of darkness. You go out there to a lost and dying world. He says, listen, where do I want you to be? I want you to be over here in the land of truth. I want you to be over here in the land of light. I want you to be over here in, I want you to be over here in my presence. I want you to be over here in my fellowship. Man, don't go out there. And Shimei said, it is good. Man, it sounds great. And the Bible says that he did so there in verse 38. And the latter part of verse 38 says he did so for many days. Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. I mean, this was great. I mean, he was living the life, it seemed. That, I mean, what could get any better than this right here? He's living in truth. He's living in light. He is living right here in the best place possible. But then notice what happens there in verse 39. And it came to pass. And how long did it last? The Bible says it came to pass at the end of 3 years. Shimei lasted 3 years. The Bible says in that, after that 3 years, that two of his servants of Shimei ran unto Achish, the king of Gath. And they told Shimei, saying, behold, thy servants be in Gath. So there in verse 39, we see that there was something that took place in Shimei's life that he began to value more than his presence with the king. There was something that began to take place in Shimei's life that to him became that he felt that he needed to be more obedient to. The Bible says there in verse 39 that he had two servants that ran away. He had two servants that ran away that went over to the king of Gath. And of course that upset him. And what does the Bible say that he did? The Bible says in verse 40 that Shimei arose and saddled his ass and went to Gath to Achish to seek his servants. And Shimei went and brought his servants from Gath. So we're going to see his journey. Now we looked at the previous verses and it said, man, he was all happy and joyful about dwelling in the presence of the king. Man, it was all great dwelling there in Jerusalem. It was all nice staying in this place. I mean, it was great. The Bible says that Shimei saw it as good, and he stayed there many days, and he was obedient for a little while. He was obedient for a little while, but then something came up in his life that began to take more precedence than his life to the king. There was something that came up in his life that it seemed that he felt that somebody had done something that he needed to go get his servants and bring them back. Maybe they had disrespected him, or maybe they had dishonored him, and so he couldn't handle that. He didn't want to deal with that, and so he said, you know, I know what the king has said. I know that he said if I cross over the Brook Kidron and I go back out there in that place of darkness, I know he said he was going to do this. But at some point in his life, during those 3 years, at some point during the day, whenever he was saddling up his ass to go see his servants over there in Gath, at some point during that time, he had to have been under the realization that, listen, I'm not doing right. He hadn't left the place in 3 years. He knows what he's doing is wrong. These things had to have been going through his mind. He had to have been replaying this stuff. He had to have known this stuff. Listen, when the Holy Spirit of of God comes to you and lets you know, knocks on the door of your heart, listen, don't you even ride that thing. You better get off that mule. You better get off that donkey. You better stay right here where you are, because if you get on that thing, it's going to ride you to death. If you get on that thing, it's going to ride you to a place of destruction. If you get on that thing, you don't understand where this, you don't understand what's going to happen. But yet the whole time, the Holy Spirit, I guarantee he was thinking the whole time, yes, I know what the king said. Yes, I know what Solomon said. But you know what he did? He decided, you know what? I'm going to live my life how I want to live it. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm not going to allow this to happen. And he began to see the things that was happening in his life more important than the things that the king said, more important than honoring the king. And so the Bible says that he saddled up his ass and he got his things together and he went over the brook Kidron and he went over there to get his servants, and he did, and he brought them back. So we see his journey from the place with the king back into darkness. And he came back. But see, this is something that really demonstrates his whole life. He was always like this, all the time. All the time. And Solomon said, you got one last chance. I'm not going to keep dealing with this. You got one last chance. Verse 40, Shimei rose and he went out and got his servants, brought them back. And Shimei crossed the boundary line when his personal interest was at stake. The thing with Shimei is that he had a rebellious spirit. That was his problem. Shimei had a rebellious spirit. And because he had a rebellious spirit, there were things he kept riding. There was something that he rode right here. There was things he did in his life on and off all the time. He had no respect, it seemed like, for any king that was in his life except for Saul. And Saul was a rebellious king too. And we see right here, Shimei, he came back. But whenever he came back, it was told him there in verse 41, it was told Solomon that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and was come again. The good thing that we see in verses 40 and 41, of course, as we close out the journey, which is that truth, is that we're on a journey here this morning. Every single one of us got to decide, really, am I going to ride this thing back out in darkness, or am I going to stay over here where I'm supposed to be? Am I going to ride this sin back out there in the darkness? Am I going to prefer myself over the king? Am I going to be obedient to myself, or am I going to be obedient to the king? I mean, why in the world did he even go out there? I mean, I can think of a number of things he could have done. He could have just maybe went to the king and said, hey, king, this is what happened. Did he go to the king? No, he did not. What did he do? He decided to take matters into his own hands. He decided to do things his own way. He decided to do things his own self. I don't care what the king has to say. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to live how I want to live. You see that rebellious spirit that he's got? Why do I need to talk to the king? Why do I need to have fellowship with him? Listen, I've been here for 3 years. Surely my 3 years of service has been good enough. Surely I've been around the king long enough now that he knows my heart. Now listen, he told you to stay here. But he had a rebellious spirit. It almost seems like he thought within himself, well, maybe he's too kind to do anything. Maybe he's just too loving. Maybe he's just too kind. David did show me mercy too. He made an oath not to kill me when I come begging for my life. David swore that he would not kill me. And so maybe, I'll just take advantage of his love. I'll take advantage of the kindness. I'll take advantage of that. Oh, no. I mean, you know, because Solomon is he's a just man. He's a man of wisdom. There's nobody like him in all of the earth. I mean, the whole world would come and get the advice of Solomon. So surely Solomon wouldn't be such a man as this, that he would really put me to death. And so he was willing to test the waters and cross over the Jordan, and cross over Kidron. And when he did, he made his last mistake. But we see his journey. And we got to think about this one, the journey that we're on today. And what has the Lord been speaking to our hearts about in our life? What is God speaking to us about? Does not the Lord desire for us to leave that place of darkness and then get out from the world and come and live and dwell with Him? Yeah, He does. Because there's a sin-filled world out there. It's not going to be productive for any of us. It's not going to help any of us. Listen, living out there back in Bahurim, living out there in the world, is not going to help us to get to where we need to be in our life. And Solomon knew that. He knew that the only way that Shimei was going to get his act together and get his life together was that he came out of that darkness and came back over here and he began to dwell in Jerusalem in the presence of the king. And listen, that's just like us too. We got to understand that the longer that we stay out there in that world of darkness and sin, the more that it does to us, the more it does to our life, the more it does to our mind and our hearts. Listen, we want to. God desires for us to be in a place of righteousness, to be in a place of holiness, and to dwell in a place of fellowship, and that is with the King, that is with the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we see that He has given this chance, He's given this opportunity, but He lives His life back and forth and back and forth like He has several masters, and He never really can, it seems, claim one as His own. And He decided to do what He wanted to do and live how He wanted to live. He was willing to cross a boundary line when His own personal interest was at stake. He didn't go to the King. He didn't appeal to the King. He didn't talk to the King. No, He decided to live by Himself in His own little place. He didn't want to talk to the King. He didn't want to dwell with the King. He didn't want to live with the King. He wanted nothing to do with the King. He just wanted to live His life His own way. And I guarantee you, after 3 years, He probably thought to Himself, listen, I ain't talked to Him in 3 years. I'll just live how I want to live. And I'll just do what I want to do. And the King will probably never even find out about it. But He did. And sometimes people, they live their life and they say, well, it's just this. This is all it is. It's no big deal. It's not a big deal until it becomes a big deal. It's just this. It's no big deal. It's just this. I got a hold of it. It's just this. I'll be fine. It's just this. The King will never find out. And the King finds out. And the King knows. Because what can we hide from the King? The Bible says it was told Solomon that Shimei was gone from Jerusalem to Gath and was come again. We understand that as we live our life, there's nothing hid before God. There's nothing, listen, we can hide it from each other, but there is nothing that we can hide, but there's nothing we can hide from God. The Bible shows us here, we see His journey. Then we get to verse 42, the Bible says, and the King sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, did I not make thee to swear by the Lord and protested unto thee? Did I not make you take an oath? And did you not promise to the Lord? Did you not make an oath to the Lord Himself? And did I not protest you? Did I not tell you and do everything I could to warn you, saying, know for certain that on the day that thou go out and you walkest abroad anywhere, that thou shalt surely die? And I look at God's word. And I look at God's word and I say, isn't God doing everything He can to tell us that if you stay out there in that world and you live out there in that world, listen, it's going to kill you. It's going to bring you to a certain death. Not only is it going to take you physically, but it's also going to, listen, you're going to die spiritually if you die without Christ. And He says, listen, am I not doing everything I can to get your attention? Am I not doing everything I can to bring you to this place of joy and laughter and presence with the King? Am I not doing everything I can to get you to leave that world and come over here and live in a place where the King is living? Am I not doing everything? Have I not protested as much as I possibly can? I mean, how many of us here today, I mean, let's just be honest, that the Holy Spirit of God has been knocking on the door of our heart saying, listen, get out of that mess. Get away from there. Stop that sin. You need to get your life right. Stop doing it. And the Holy Spirit of God is doing everything He can, protesting to us every single day, doing everything He can to pour Himself into us. But we block our ears to it, and because we have this rebellious spirit. We just say, I'm just going to live how I want to live, and I'm just going to do what I want to do because this is my life, and I'm not going to let nobody tell me what to do. Well, listen, that's all fine if that's the way you want to live. But one of these days when you die lost and you die without the Lord Jesus Christ, you will. And this isn't just the pastor. Listen, this is Bible. You die without Jesus and one day you will die and you'll go to hell. And while you are there, you will be wishing from that day for the rest of eternity that you would have heeded the advice of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would have listened to His word, that you would have said, you know what? I'd love to go back and take advantage of that opportunity. I would love to go back for just one more chance. But it ended up being the last chance for Shimei, because his own self-interest was more important than the obedience of the King. He never approached the King, not one time. He never came to the King. He never tried to explain himself. He never tried to bring the matter. He stayed away from him. Didn't want nothing to do with him. Didn't talk to him. There was no fellowship. Maybe he thought the King was too kind-hearted. Maybe he thought the King would never know. He'll never know about it. Maybe he thought the King was just all talk and no action. I don't know. But I believe there in verse 42, can you imagine the heart of Shimei when somebody knocked on his door and said, the King needs to see you. after he knew that he had already crossed over into darkness and came back, after he knew that he had already disobeyed the king. Can you imagine when he got that knock on the door and the soldiers were standing there in front of the door and said, Solomon needs to see you. I guarantee you he was shaking in his boots. Listen, we want to live our life how we want to live it until the king says, your time is up. Now you got to answer for the life that you lived. Now you got to answer for being disobedient to the king. Now you got to answer for being out there in the darkness. You had your chance and you had your opportunity to be here in the light. You came and you got a taste of it. You dwelt of it here for a little while. But obviously your own self-interest and your own life was better and meant more to you than it was over here. So now it's time for you to answer for what you've done. Wow. The Bible says in verse 42, when the king sent and called for Shimei, and he said to him, did I not make thee swear by the Lord? And protested unto thee, saying, know for certain that on the day that thou goest out and walkest abroad anywhere, that thou shalt surely die. And thou saidest unto me, thy word that I have heard is good. Listen, there's a lot of people that have sat in churches across America. There's a lot of churches that have sat under good Bible-believing churches and people that have said, listen, the word is good. Yes, everything I hear, it is great. Does not the Bible tell us that on that last day that there's going to be a lot of people standing before God say, did I not do this in thy name? Did I not cast out demons in thy name? Did I not do this? And did I not do this in thy name? And the Bible says the Lord Jesus will look at him and say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. There's a lot of people saying, I'll do this in God's name. There's a lot of people out here in this world, preachers and other people alike, they'll say, yes, I'm doing this for the Lord, and I'm in this for God. And listen, and their hearts are as far from God as they can possibly be. And there's going to be a lot of people on that last day that will be answering for the things that they have done. Just like Shimei standing before the king right here, having to answer for the life that he had lived. He was told that he don't need to go back out there in darkness. He was told not to cross this line. He made an oath that he had to promise to the Lord that he would not go back out there. He was told this is the boundary, but yet he crossed it anyway because his own interest was more important than the obedience to the king. His own interest and his own life meant more to him than honoring the king. And because of that, he was going to have to stand before the king and answer for what he had done. And that, my friend, is life. And that is eternity. The Bible shows us, as we get ready to close, he says, so we get into the part, not only do we see his jurisdiction, and not only do we see the joy that he had there in verse 38, and not only do we see the journey that he was on, well, now we also see the judge. He verified there in the latter part of verse 32 that thy word that I have heard is good. He says, why then hast thou not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I charged thee with? Why did you go against me? Why did you betray me? Why'd you not listen to what I told you? How many people, as I said, and I'll keep saying it, but how many people are in hell today who sat in good Bible-believing preaching churches and they heard the good word? They heard the gospel of truth. They heard about the boundary line. We were all guilty. We all threw rocks and we were all throwing stones and we were all slandering the king. Listen, we were all against God. But he said, don't go back out there. Don't go back out there. You do, you'll die. You'll do, you'll be consumed by that world. I'm trying to pull you out of it. I'm trying to pull you out of that life. But if you stay out there, this is what's going to happen. Shimei didn't believe him. And in Shimei's disbelief, he came back and got judged by the king. King said, didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you that if you went out there, this is going to happen? How many people in hell today wishing they could be sitting right here where you're sitting and have the same chance that you got right now? But at one time, they took their last chance. What is it for any of us? Where's our heart at? Notice the Bible says in verse 44, the king said moreover to Shimei, thou knowest all the wickedness. Watch this now. Thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to. You know who you are. You know what's in your heart. You know the evil that's there. You know the things that you've done. And you know the mercy that I was trying to give to you. You know the mercy, the grace that I was shedding upon you. I mean, I was trying to love on you, and I was trying to give you grace and long-suffering despite the things that you said, despite the rocks that you threw, despite the mud that you slung, despite the curses that you brought down, despite the life that you lived, despite the disobedience of a child that you were, despite all of these things, I was trying to help you, and yet you took all of these things and counted it as nothing for your own selfish purpose. He said, didn't I try to tell you? He says, you know your own heart. Remember, he says, that thou didst what thou didst to David my father. Therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own head. And King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. Why do you say that in verse 45? Because that wasn't something that Shimei really cared for. It wasn't something that he wanted. Shimei was really against, he was against David and he was against Solomon. He was just doing everything he could just to get by to save his own neck. So there in verse 45, Solomon said, Solomon shall be blessed. Despite your own thoughts, despite how you feel about me and that you don't want me to be the king, despite all of that, Solomon's going to be blessed. My throne will be established. The throne of David will be established forever. So what happened in verse 46, we end, the judge, he gave his sentence. The Bible says, and the king commanded Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him, that he died. In other words, he was executed. Judgment came swiftly and quickly. And let us understand this morning, when we think about one last chance, where are we? And where are you at? Where are you at in your life? Is God doing everything he can to speak to your heart, to get you to get yourself right, to get your life right? Listen, to come out from that place of darkness and to come back over here where he is. Listen, we serve a God of love. We serve a God of love. God does love us. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us on a cross. What a picture of his love. Every day, folks sling dirt at the Lord. Every day they cast stones. Every day they live in darkness, but yet God still loads them daily with benefits. God still causes the sun to shine upon their head. God still causes the rain to fall down upon them. And God still blesses, and God still gives mercy and grace and long-suffering. And that very same God is also a God of judgment. The very same God is also a God of judgment. David was long-suffering. Solomon was long-suffering. But there came a day when Shimei and his rebellious spirit, that it was over. And he ended up standing before the king. And he got judged for his life. Let's pray here this morning. As the piano plays whenever they get ready, we think about ourselves here this morning. Where am I at? What has God been knocking on the door of my heart about? Is there something that the Lord's been trying to speak to me about getting right? Is there something that the Lord's been trying to deal with me over? Is it a matter of salvation? Is it a matter of maybe something that is in my life that it keeps talking to me about getting right? That matter is between you and God here today. I tell you this, I'd a whole lot rather stand before the Lord in his love and grace and mercy than I would in his judgment. So as we sit here this morning, and just by your own admission, I can't see in your heart and your life, but if you're here today and you're not saved, the greatest decision that you can ever make in your life is a decision for Christ. To get all your sins washed under the blood, to know for sure without a shadow of a doubt that you will never have to answer for none of those again. And listen, this preacher right here is guilty. A sinner just like anybody else. And I'm still a work in progress. I have not arrived just yet. I can tell you this morning, as God looks in all of our hearts and begins to knock on those places, will we get those things right with God today? It could be some sins. Listen, it can be envy, bitterness, hatred in our hearts, unforgiveness. There's a whole host of things out here in this world. But if you're here today and you're not saved, the greatest thing you can do this morning is get saved. So if you're here this morning, you can honestly admit from your heart, you don't know Christ as your Savior. Nobody's looking but me and God. Would you just slip your hand up so I can see you? Preacher, I'm not saved. I need to get saved. As we stand to our feet and we open up the altar here this morning, I encourage you to come. We'll go ahead and open up the altar. You want to pray about something? Come and pray. Listen, we're also going into revival meetings next week. Pray for these pastors that come. Pray for the evangelists. Pray for the singers. Pray for the music. Pray for the musicians. Pray for your church. Pray for lost folks that's out here in the world that come and hear the true words of Christ. Pray for folks that are in their hearts that are broken and they feel like they're hopeless and they see that there's no light. Folks that are out there in this world that they wonder where is truth and what is truth all about. That Gospelite, at least in this week, will be a place where they can come and learn about the Lord Jesus. A place where they can come and hear the true words of God. A place where they can come and the light of Christ be shown about their life. Lots of hurting people that are out here in this world. I believe there's lots of people that are searching for truth. It could also be this morning that God's knocking on the door of your heart and saying, listen, don't go back out there in darkness. Get out of that life. Don't cross this line. Come back over here and dwell with the King. Come back over here and stay over here where you're supposed to be and build a life and build a future for yourself, a place where you know you can experience joy and love and grace and mercy and long-suffering. Don't put your place back out there in a world of darkness, of sin and sorrow and hurt and certain judgment. Altar's full here this morning. We all got things in our life that we need to pray about. Maybe it's just been a while before you've come into the presence of the King. And it could be today you say, you know what, preacher, I just need to rededicate my life to the Lord. I'm tired of living my life like Shimei and going back and forth and back and forth. And I want something stable in my life. I want something permanent that's in my life. The King says, come back. Come back over here. Come out of that place of darkness. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to be back in the house of God today. Looking forward to tonight. Let's see you at 4:45 choir practice, 5:45 prayer time, 6 o'clock evening service. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. If I could, Brother Rodney, would you pray for us?